Well, we're going to focus tonight on what it means. And it's at this point you might want to turn, come and sit down here, because I'm going to read and then we'll just have the next sort of 10 minutes or so thinking about the meaning of Christmas before we sing again and then go to communion. So that's up to you musicians, but I'm going to crane my neck a little bit if you all stay up there. So let's turn to John 1 and think about the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Well, if you've got that open, do keep it open. We're just going to remind ourselves of the wonderful truth that is here. We're gathering at this late hour to remind ourselves that one dark night, 2,000 years ago, a first-time mum was waiting for her baby to arrive. And that baby was no ordinary baby. I mean, no first-time baby is an ordinary baby. It's very special and it's very unique. But this was even more special and even more unique. This baby was and is the promise of the ages. We've recently been reading about and studying in the book of Genesis. This baby is the serpent crusher. This baby is Noah's naval architect who gave him the plans for the ark. This baby is Abraham's smoking firepot and flaming torch, who walked between the pieces of the animals as he made a covenant with him, as he had done with Noah, as he had done with Adam. A promise to save, to rescue. This one provided a ram as a substitute for Isaac when he was bound on the altar. This one wrestled with Jacob and took Joseph into Egypt and made him a great leader and saved 70? Yes. But a whole nation at the same time. This one appeared in a flaming bush to Moses, and then as a pillar of cloud and fire to all the people Moses led out of Egypt. And we've just got out of the book of Genesis. And I don't have time, you're pleased to know. We'll be singing, O Come All Ye Faithful, for next year if I went through the whole of the scriptures. But this one was Joshua's strength and courage as they entered the land. This one was Ruth's kinsman redeemer, fulfilling the picture of Boaz there rescuing. This one is David's Lord, who he addressed, if you like, spiritually, prophetically, hopingly, that one day the Lord will say to my Lord, sit at my hand until I make your enemies my footstool. Psalm 110. This baby we remember tonight was and is all this promise of Old Testament scripture fulfilled. And after Jesus had come and lived and died and risen and ascended, John, his youngest disciple, wrote these words in chapter 1 to help us understand, to get to grips with the importance of all of this. And to do that, he goes right back to the beginning. And in the first four verses, he says, it goes right back to the beginning. The meaning of this goes right back to the dawn of time, to creation. We're no accident. This Jesus I proclaim to you spoke and this world came into being. He is the Word. When Scripture says, God said, let there be, Jesus is the let there be. He was with God. He is God. He was there at the beginning. In other words, friends, Jesus brings life. We know a life came into the world this first night, but Jesus brings life with him for others too. Jesus is our creator. He existed before we did, before all of that which we know all our ancestors did. He spoke and it began. He is life himself. In verse 5, we read that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And the darkness, perhaps we can translate it, has not overthrown it or overcome it. Our God is not just life. The Lord Jesus is that, but he is also light. You see, our God is a God who separates light from darkness. He judges and he rules. In creation, he made things and made them in a certain way. And when we go against his plan, things break down and darkness comes. But the Bible proclaims that the light is stronger than the darkness. This is not some yin and yang, two equal forces who push backwards and forwards against one another. God's light, the Lord Jesus, is almighty and powerful and overcomes. Jesus, the light of the world, has finally come into the world. All those long-promised glimpses, little flashes of wonder of how he will be, are finally brought to that full fruition, if you like. Ever driven a long dark country lane in the dead of night. No street lights, no moonlight. And you catch a flash, dim, miles away. And a moment later it comes again, and it comes again, and it comes again. And finally, round the last bend, comes the blazing headlights of whatever it is. Well, that's exactly what's been going on here. Little glimpses, flashes. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's here. True as that is, this verse reminds us one key thing. Light always conquers darkness. No matter how complete the dark, you add a spark of light, it's there, you see things. That's always going to be the way, because darkness is just an absence. It's not a real thing in itself, it's just a lack of something. It's a looking the wrong way, it's the light has been chased away or shut out or whatever, and the moment light comes, the darkness is banished. The darkness is shown to be what it is, the absence of the presence of the Lord Jesus. Verses 6 to 8, John the Baptist remind us of what we've already picked up on, that God is telling again this story. God has not left anyone without this message. This light has flashed into every life, every generation, every part of human history. God is revealing himself to people. He wants people to hear from him. He wants people to respond to him. We have not been left alone. God loves us enough. And David, reflecting on this in Psalm 139, says these words. You hem me in, behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. We've not been left alone. There's nowhere where God's light cannot shine. Jesus is the light of the world. Verses 9 to 11. Sadly, remind us that some choose darkness over light. Oh, how we must be mindful of this. What does God do with those who choose darkness over light? Verse 12 follows immediately. Yet to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children. Children born of God. The message is there, the light comes, it shines, and people are changed. People are saved. Instead of living in darkness, we live in the light. And more wonderful than that, the light enters into us, and we can share the light. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. He stays with us. He lives with us. He impacts our lives. And then John says, we have seen his glory. What is John doing? He is testifying of this glory. And John, the gospel writer, in that humble way, doesn't really want to put it in his own words. Well, not yet, anyway. He will do later on. But here he just uses John the Baptist's testimony and says, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because because he was before me. Summing up all he said, Jesus, the Creator, is the light of the world who shines into the darkness. He is capable, because he is almighty, to see us to salvation. He comes, he testifies, and we read that we have grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we see the Father, the light of the world. We can know him. We can experience him. We can be united to him. This is the truth of Christmas. This is the truth of this table. This is the truth of all that we do as his people. We are brought together as one. We are brought into unity. Infant holy, infant lowly is our next carol. Reminds us of the immediacy of the moment, the lowly state in the stable, but also the fact that Jesus Christ is holy, the Son of God. Let's sing.